It's almost Friday. Hang on for one more day. Thursday, the 9th of September, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. General Michael Flynn will be with us today. Now, we have had a lot of conversation on this program, and I'm sure there will be much more to come about how exactly it happened. But as of today, President Trump is out of the White House. But even now, he's probably the best hope for the Republican Party to chart an America First path forward and fully leave behind the failed ideology of that Bush era. But it's been more than 6 years since Donald Trump descended the escalator. And by this point, I think all of us understand his strengths and weaknesses fairly well. They don't change much. And President Trump's list of strengths and accomplishments is really long. So let's take a look at the short list. President Trump's biggest weakness, and I have been on the record on this program saying this many times, his biggest weakness now is the same one that he had back in 2015, the people he surrounds himself with. Now, when he was in the White House, there was some improvement over time. 2017 with Reince Priebus running shop was a complete, unmitigated, horrific disaster. But 2020 was a lot better. And the reason comes down to personnel. A true Trump loyalist, John McEntee, was put into the White House personnel office. Now, McEntee didn't have some amazing resume. He was only 29 when he took that job. But what he did know was how to distinguish people who supported Trump's agenda versus the frauds who were exploiting him. So personnel appointments became much better. Anyway, that's all in the past. And now President Trump is in Mar-a-Lago. But I'm afraid to say it looks like a lot of the same scammers, a lot of the same grifters, these frauds, a lot of the same clueless idiots, frankly, have surrounded him. And you can see the signs everywhere. Consider Liz Cheney. Now, Liz Cheney is obviously toast in Wyoming. She's not winning re-election. Trump and the base justifiably despise Liz Cheney. But Liz Cheney would like to influence who her replacement is on her way out. And Politico just reported on Wednesday that Trump has made his choice about whom he will endorse for that seat. It's former gubernatorial candidate Harriet Hagman. Now, this is a bizarre pick. How bizarre? Well, if you go to Predict It, that's the website where you can bet on political outcomes, there's a market for who will win that Wyoming House seat. And as of Wednesday, there were 12 candidates listed. One of them was not Harriet Hagman. Here's some more. According to nationalfile.com, in 2016, Harriet Hagman was on the floor at the RNC leading the charge to free the GOP delegates so they could vote for Ted Cruz instead of voting for President Donald Trump. That was Hagman. In fact, Hagman has been friends with Cheney since at least 2013. And until this week, she'd avoided making any negative statements about Cheney. She didn't attend the Wyoming GOP meeting that censured Cheney. But now, Hagman has Trump's endorsement. Why? Apparently, money. As Politico reported on Wednesday, it sounds like lots of people in the Trump orbit are poised to work on Hagman's campaign directly or indirectly, and this doesn't seem to be a coincidence. I can report today that I have spoken with somebody very close to President Trump, and that person says that one of the president's closest aides, Bill Stepien, is selling the president's endorsements for money. Now, to be clear, this person says Trump himself does not know about this, and I haven't learned the exact form this quid pro quo took. But the overall thrust was clear. Bill Stepien is arranging for President Trump to endorse candidates for reasons other than actual politics. That would explain the out-of-nowhere choice of Harriet Hagman and all the Trump orbiters lined up to get contracts and jobs from Hagman's campaign. Meanwhile, Liz Cheney gets to essentially pick her own replacement to Congress. And this isn't the only example. In Arkansas, President Trump has already endorsed incumbent Senator John Bozeman, who, by the way, still has an open and publicly discoverable Facebook post blaming President Trump for a so-called violent insurrection on the 6th of January. And in Arkansas, there's a superior challenger in Jan Morgan, who, by the way, was the national spokesperson for Citizens for Trump. So Bill Stepien was the guy who managed Trump's campaign in the final 5 months of the 2020 race. In other words, this is the guy, Bill Stepien, who botched what should have been a sure thing. But he personally made lots of money doing it, and now he gets to make more on the 2022 races. This guy wins, even if America First loses. There's also Trump orbiters like Corey Lewandowski. Lewandowski at least opposes Liz Cheney in Wyoming, but I've been told that he's also essentially selling Trump endorsements. And Lewandowski certainly has done very well for himself. He owns at least three houses, one of them worth $1.2 million in Naples, Florida. He also might be a confidential informant for the FBI, again, according to a source close to the Trump world. But there's more. There's Chris Christie flunky Justin Clark, who managed Election Day operations last year. There's Mike Shields, who has Lincoln Project ties. And his wife, Katie Walsh, who was Reince Priebus' key underling in 2017. These people are still around. Still influencing Trump world when they are the people who gave us President Biden. And looming above everything, at all times, there's Jared Kushner and Ivanka, who never liked Trump entering the political spotlight, who never liked his 2016 agenda. They did everything they could to sabotage, ruin, and derail it, and they're still at it today. Now, there's talk that Trump could be announcing a 2024 campaign very soon, far earlier than the norm. Don't be surprised if he does. But if President Trump doesn't fundamentally overhaul the people around him, he'll struggle to reclaim the presidency. But even more important, if he doesn't change the people around him, a second term will face the same problems as the first. Lauren Witzke is an America First conservative. She's a former U.S. Senate candidate in Delaware who garnered more votes than any former Republican candidate in Delaware. She worked for Trump victory in 2018, and she joins us now. Multiple sources have told us that high-ranking people in Trump world have confirmed that Bill Stepien is selling Trump endorsements, running away with the cash. Lauren, how is Bill Stepien still involved with Trump after such grave displays of incompetence in the 2020 campaign?
Well, you have to remember, Bill Stepien became a part of the transition team in 2016. Now, I would like to say that Trump, it seems like he ran like an independent in 2016. He was ready to take on the globalists. I worked for the Trump campaign. In 2020, let me tell you something, the RNC, Trump partnering with the RNC was the worst decision he ever made because he ended up getting people like Bill Stepien. So Bill Stepien was part of the transition team and he remained in the White House throughout Donald Trump's election or through his administration. He was also involved in the 2020 campaign. Now, listen, these people didn't want Trump to win. He's literally surrounding himself with people who are dismantling his administration from the inside. Now, Bill Stepien, he's a Chris Christie, Mike Pence water boy, is what I would like to say. He is in with the RINO establishment, people that meant to tear down everything that Donald Trump's 2016 agenda represented. You know, immigration, building the wall, taking care of American workers and Americans first. These people vehemently oppose the America First agenda. However, they know that Donald Trump is a cash cow. They know that they can monetize his endorsements. And that's what Bill Stepien is doing. He is holding endorsements hostage. And don't get me wrong. Nobody deserves a vacation more than Donald Trump. After 4 years of what they've done to his family, the hits he took, he deserves a vacation. However, the people that he is left in charge, they are setting everything up for him to have a U.S. Senate. Yeah, we might have a Republican majority, but we're going to have it full of Liz Cheney's and her hand-selected candidates. So, you know, it's one of those things where why does Donald Trump continue to allow this to happen and surround himself with bad people? I don't know if maybe he's not aware. I've been told that he was caught. A congressman who was waiting on an endorsement for Donald Trump called Bill and was like, hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, yeah, you'll have it. But he didn't pay up, I don't think. So he got a hold of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was like, yeah, you got it. But he didn't know that Bill Stepien was holding his endorsement hostage for a payoff. So these people are monetizing the Trump name, and Trump hates nothing more than people who monetize his name, especially behind their back, and set him up to fail.
And there seem to be a lot of people monetizing his name right in the wide open. We've mentioned a few of them in recent history. These are people who are currently office holders, so-called elected representatives, which we don't know if they were elected or not because we still haven't fixed 2020. We have no idea what happened in that election. We're still counting votes now. I mean, this is an unmitigated failure. The entire election process has been nothing but drive dissent and anger into the American people who rightfully question this election as it was. There was unprecedented opportunity for fraud. So Trump has to get this right. And he seems to be really into fixing 2020. He seems to be really into getting this right. Would you agree that getting the personnel right, this Stepien, I mean, not only is he stabbing President Trump in the back, but this seems like a clear quid pro quo that should be investigated criminally.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Especially since we know that he doesn't have Donald Trump's best interests in mind. He is monetizing himself, like the Trump name, to benefit himself. He doesn't care that the country is going down the toilet. He doesn't care that these politicians that he is using the Donald Trump name to endorse will get into Congress and completely undermine him. You know, I'm watching as my country is disintegrating. I'm watching as the Biden administration implements communism in my country. And I need Republicans who are going to fight back. Not Liz Cheney's endorsed candidate, somebody who's going to sell me out as soon as things get rough. You know, we need true America First patriots, but Trump has surrounded himself with people like Bill Stepien and Matt Morgan from Save America PAC, who tells his interns and other attorneys, you cannot challenge the 2020 Biden win or else you'll never work in D.C. again. And these are people involved in Donald Trump's Save America PAC. You know, so these people, they have infiltrated and worked their way in, and they do not have our best interest at heart, and it must be stopped. We cannot afford to continue to endorse rhinos who are going to sell us out. We cannot continue to put people who serve the likes of Mike Pence, who are bought, sold, and paid for. You know, so Donald Trump really needs to do a closer look, especially if he's going to run in 2024, and he has endorsements like Trump hater Tim Scott under his name. You know, he's endorsing people who vehemently oppose him and his agenda. You know, if he wants to run in 2024 and be taken seriously, he needs to look around at who he is surrounding himself with, who he is allowing to monetize his name, like Bill Stepien, like Matt Morgan of Save America PAC.
I couldn't agree more. Lauren Witzke, always impressive, very intelligent gal. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you.
Mike is offering the sale of the year. You will receive 50% off his Giza Dream Sheets. Just go to MyPillow.com, and you will receive a set for as low as $49.99 with promo code STU. Or call 800-262-2403 and be sure to use STU at checkout.
Well, a lot of people might not know this, but General Michael Flynn spent the majority of his life as a Democrat. He grew up as a small town boy in Rhode Island, and Flynn says back in those days, quote, Democrats were allowed to be pro-life and pro-law enforcement. Who knew that Michael Flynn, small town Michael Flynn, family of 10, nine siblings, would one day become General Michael Flynn, emerges one of today's forefront patriots, being trapped by a weaponized global cabal set up and caught in the crosshairs of the deep state in the attempted political assassination of President Donald J. Trump. And now, rising as one of today's most prolific men of God and honor, leading in a war that we never expected to be in. And here he is to talk with us all about that, General Michael Flynn. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Stu, and thanks to your audience for all that they are trying to do and trying to pay attention to in this country right now. It's an amazing time to be alive, that's for sure. But we are in the fight of our lives here in this country. Don't think for a second that we are not for your audience. I'll tell you, this is a historic time, and it's going to require historic action by I know millions and millions of people that listen to you and millions that around this country that are starting to really get a sense of what is happening in the country. And we're going to feel it today with Biden's statement about COVID. It's just going to be more of the same, but it's going to be to lock this country down to shut us all up.
Yeah. And it's going to take strong leadership. You've been one of those leaders.
Absolutely.
So it's my prediction that President Trump will make his move quickly, officially announced for 24. I could be wrong, but if I'm right, would you consider a selection as vice president to Trump?
Here's where I'm at. If I do think that if Trump is going to run in 2024, he needs to come out sooner than later. So I totally agree with you in your sentiment that you think that Trump is going to say something pretty soon about running in 2024. His challenge, you know, before I really, you know, waffle my way to answering your question, his challenge is that he really can't say I'm going to run in 2024 at the same time say that 2020 was a stolen election. It's almost like he's in this sort of very difficult place because we clearly know that 2020 was a fraudulent election. We were outmaneuvered by the left masterfully, Stu. And now what we're all doing is we're fighting these brush fire audits in various states, Maricopa County being the latest one that just came out and really does show incredible levels of fraud. What would I do? Here's where Mike Flynn's head is at. Mike Flynn's head today is totally focused on looking through the eyes of my grandchildren and what I want to leave this country to be for them. Because what this country was given to me as by my parents and by my grandparents who fought in World War I, World War II, Korea, you know, I mean, and really the, you know, when we talk about greatest generations, and here we just lost a 20-year war. We just lost, surrendered and retreated. So what will Mike Flynn do? You know, I politically, I have no desire right now to be involved in politics. What I have a desire to do is to help people wake up, stand up, do something, restore the greatness of America, and to really to save this country. If there's one thing that I can do as a sort of a champion for our country, because there are, you know, I will consider myself that for now, along with others, because there are a lot of other champions out there. And that's what we need people to do. We need people to stand up and be a champion for America. I need them. I need to help.
And that means doing things that aren't necessarily comfortable.
No, that's totally uncomfortable. It's way, way outside the comfort levels of where people have ever operated, Stu. I mean, you've got to assume risk. You know, if you want to be the best, if you want to be really good at something, or if you really want to change something, it is going to cause somebody to accept great, great risk. And if you want to, you know, do something that you know is against the grain, but you know it's the harder right thing to do, you're going to have everybody coming after you. You're going to have your banks canceling your accounts. You're going to have the media, you know, talking smack about you. You're going to be disparaged all the time. You're going to lose friends, quote unquote friends, that you know, a true friend doesn't leave you in a time of need. A true friend will stick with you. So there are all these bad things are going to likely happen to you, but that's what sacrifice for the greater good of our country is going to take.
I mean, some of that consequence and some of that uncomfortable calling, if it took you where you don't want to go into politics, would you consider the vice presidential nod?
Hey, Stu, let's get one thing straight here with Trump. Trump's got to make a decision about what does he believe he must do. I believe that Trump now needs to start to really seriously think about letting it be known instead of just playing with the psyche of America. He needs to start talking about, yes, I am going to run again. All these other candidates that are walking across the stages of things like CPAC and others, like a bunch of beauty queens that think that the American people care about them, they don't. They really don't. Trump needs to get all that noise out of the way, and he needs to start focusing. And he needs to start telling people what guys like me are out there saying. Get involved at your local level. Join, you know, become a precinct volunteer. Be what, like the Democrats do. The Democrats get people, they actually get a bunch of thugs to work in voting precincts. What we need to do is we need to get a bunch of smart people, well-trained, And we need to get them at the local level and start getting engaged. That's why I'm so fired up about some of these people that are getting involved with school boards that are starting to run at local, you know, for local state level offices, for local county level offices. And then, of course, anybody that wants to, particularly veterans who want to run for a Senate or a congressional seat, that's fine. But the 2022 election is not going to be a fair election if we don't resolve the election integrity issues of 2020.
Exactly.
And that's where kind of Trump is at.
Yeah.
So I'm giving you a non-answer.
All right. Well, hey, I can appreciate that. And thank you for just saying that. Afghanistan, you talked about briefly, disastrous, totally avoidable failure. This administration, Joe Biden, and the politicized military command. So as we continue to see the fallout, the horrific reality that the Taliban is now equipped with U.S. military firepower, technology, and weaponry, and they're using it for evil.
So let me just say what happened. We surrendered to the Taliban and we retreated from Afghanistan. And now I understand the last 24 hours, I saw some reporting where the Chinese are now occupying with some small military force, Bagram Airfield, which we built into an international airfield. It is a superb airfield, airport, actually. And we probably spent somewhere between $10 and $20 billion building just that airfield. And now the Chinese own it, lock, stock, and barrel, along with the Taliban. And 9/11, instead of us continuing to celebrate, you know, the kinds of things that we typically do as a country, you know, the well-meaning celebrations for those who have sacrificed their lives, for those who gave their lives on 9/11, for those who have given their lives over the last 20 years, we're actually not going to be able to celebrate because we surrendered and retreated. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to see celebrations over in Afghanistan. We're going to see the Taliban, along with their cohorts from China and probably Russia and Iran and Turkey and some of these other countries, having a big old parade down Main Street, Kabul. You know, I mean, this is incredible. This is incredible. We are not that incompetent. Our military is not that incompetent. Nobody, no one in our government can be that stupid to have exited Afghanistan the way we exited it. And we still, Stu, have hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans left behind, held hostage by the Taliban. For those people, I am heartbroken. And we in my own ways trying to help out some of the kinds of, you know, civilian efforts that are going on to try to rescue some of these people. But the Taliban, I'm getting videos sent to me every day about more and more shootings by the Taliban in different parts of the country, executions. And when we talk about executions, it's a bullet to the head or it's a beheading. I mean, this is not an enemy that we should, this is not a Geneva Convention ending scenario here, Stu. This is an ugly scenario.
It concerns me that there's no apology, no even acknowledgement of this failure. Should General Milley resign? Should some of these people be stepping down?
Yeah, I mean, yes, they should resign in disgrace. I mean, a guy like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is by law the principal military advisor to the President of the United States of America, if he advised this particular exit from Afghanistan, we don't need him in charge of our military at all, because it's a total, to me, that wouldn't be incompetent. I know Milley. Milley's not this stupid. He's not that incompetent. So if he advised this exit, thinking that this was the proper way to get out of here, basically get all of our military out, and then we'll think about getting our citizens out. I mean, talk about being back asswards, right? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, when you look at Milley's history, I mean, this right drastically contradicts everything that he has ever worked for historically.
So Milley, a guy like Milley should resign. A guy like Frank McKenzie at Central Command, who's in charge of that theater of operations, that war theater over there, he should resign. I mean, these people should be fired if they don't resign. But there's nobody home in the White House right now, right? There's no, you know, it's like knock, 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 you know, right? There's nobody up there, nobody home. So what are they going to do, Stu? They are going to move to more noise, okay, to distract the American people, distract the psyche of the American people, and they're going to use this COVID lockdown, this COVID vaccine nonsense, you know, whatever it is, this new variant, you know, A, B, C, D, G, whatever the variant is. I mean, that the government governor of West Virginia, somebody sent me a video the last 24 hours of the governor of West Virginia talking about that the skyrocketing numbers of twice vaccine people dying in the state of West Virginia that they're paying attention to. So at least as one governor, he's talking about it. I guarantee you those numbers are universal around the country. And this administration is going to come in and say, if they're going to demand that all federal employees, whether you like it or not, you're going to get the vaccine. That's federal employees. Then they're going to start talking about travel, and they're going to talk about air travel and ground travel. I mean, there's going to be things that these people are going to say, and this is all to move us away from the debacle, the tragedy, the surrender in Afghanistan, because they just want to move on to the next thing that they control. And so that's why we have to, one of the things we have to do for the American people, and this is, you know, for your audience and for other audiences that will listen to this, we have to start to think about this country in a different way. You know, our founders, people tell me all the time, well, our founders did this, our founders did that. And, you know, we have to be like our founders. Well, our founders found a new country. They found a new world, and they created a constitution. We have something that they gave us. We've lost it. So instead of finding something new, we have to rediscover America, and we have to do that through the American people. If there's one thing in our laws that we still have, is we still have laws for, and they're really the moral laws that we have, which are not man's laws. The moral laws that we have are individual liberties, right? Our individual right to choose, our individual right to speak freely, our individual right to assemble peacefully. I mean, all the kinds of things that we find in our Bill of Rights. But we also have the moral laws of the Ten Commandments, which are a part and parcel of how our nation was founded. So your listeners, the American people, we have got to make a decision about how much more risk each of us is going to take to get involved and be a champion for America. If we don't, folks, there is a small monopoly of people, and they go from the media in New York City to the theatrics of Hollywood, to the tech titans of Silicon Valley, and to a small minority of left-leaning politicians that are primarily in Washington, D.C., although in some cases we're finding them all the way down to the school boards. We have got to have the American people in this country step up and get involved. And if you never ran for student count or for school board, and you complained about them your whole life, and you then stop complaining and go run for school board if you think that your education system is broken, because it is. If you never ran for county commissioner and you complained about the county taxes or the county this or the county that, then stop complaining and go run for county commissioner. That's what we need in this country. That's what has to happen. The phrase that you heard me say is local action has a national impact. If we don't get more and more millions of Americans involved, and, you know, I would love to say, you know, let's march on whatever state capital, let's march on Washington, D.C., but I'm not sure that even matters anymore to these people. What they'll do is they'll arrest a bunch of people and they'll throw you in jail for God knows how long and not have any hearings or nothing, like we see with Nancy Pelosi's insurrection crucifixion.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's similar to third world countries. It's
worse. Yeah. It's worse because it's America. It's worse because it's America, Stu. We are not a third world country, although we have a left component of the political spectrum that are socialists, Marxists, communists, okay? Most people don't know, but there's about 75 members. There's about 75 sort of socialists that are in Congress right now. People always think of Ocasio-Cortez or Ilhan Omar or Bernie the Man, right? That I think that what people don't realize is that there's upwards of about 70 to 75 members of the Democratic Socialist Party of America that are in our Congress right now. So we allowed this. We allowed this. There are people in our country that see communism as the future of our country. And you say to yourself, how can they do that? How can they see that? Well, it's because that's what they believe. That's what they believe. And now you throw on top of it the large countries that are communist countries, primarily China, because, you know, to go back to Afghanistan for 30 seconds, China is the big winner with the surrender in Afghanistan. They really are. I mean, there's Chinese military operating on the airfield today. So China, we just opened up a huge swing swing gate in Afghanistan for China to continue on with their Belt and Road Initiative and their sort of shift to Europe and their shift to Africa and their shift to the Middle East and Central Asia. So we have a problem right now in this country. And the problem is the American people, they just think that, well, we'll go through another political election here and it's sort of politics as usual. That's what they want us to believe. There will not be another fair election in this country until we get the 2021 resolved, Stu. Yeah. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. So we have to do a couple of things simultaneously. We have to juggle a couple of balls simultaneously. And those balls are, we have to understand who we are as Americans. We have to understand all of the noise, all of these things that the administration is throwing at the American psyche. And to go back to your point about Donald Trump and whatever the hell I end up doing, to go back to your point about Donald Trump holds sway probably over 80 to 100 million people in this country. So if he says something, but I will tell you, he's got to be very cautious about what he says about vaccines. As I think a lot of people saw, I think it was in Alabama or his rally in Arizona, one of those two, where he talked about getting the vaccine, everybody booed him.
That was in Alabama,
because
yeah.
It was Alabama. I mean, people are like, you know what? My health choices are my choices. Don't tell me what to do. And for a strong case of the flu that's 99.5% recovery rate, I mean, why are we going through all of this madness, right? So Trump, and this is sort of my message to him. So my message to him is to really think deeply about how does he get control, not make America great again, not, you know, keep America great. This is to save America. And this is to restore American greatness, because we are potentially moving into a financial collapse. We are potentially moving into a food and supply shortage that we have not seen in this country in probably decades, certainly maybe not even in my lifetime. We are moving into an energy crisis in this country, where we have stopped being an energy producer for the world, and we've turned it back over to others who don't have our best interests in mind. And we are also looking at a set of foreign policy disasters that could cause the Chinese to take advantage of apathy and frankly weakness that's sitting in the White House behind the beautiful desk there inside the Oval Office. So that's what we're facing. I mean, that's the reality. And so, you know, what do we do about it? Well, what we do about it is people have to get involved. You've got to accept risk. I used to tell young officers, what do you want to be? When I was counseling, officers or sergeants, didn't make any difference. I would say, what are you good at? What do you want to be? And when they would talk to me about things, I would say, okay, in order for you to get there, you're going to have to accept some risk to maximize your potential, America, to maximize America's potential. People that are part of this beautiful experiment in democracy are going to have to they're going to have to accept some risk. We're going to have to accept some risk. Yeah. And that risk means you're going to have to get involved in your communities like you've never been involved before. And I'm not talking to the young people. The young people, we screwed the younger generation. It's my generation, really. It's not even guys like you, because you're part of that generation that I think we've screwed. It's guys like me. I'm in my 60s. So it's people that are probably in their mid-50s, and those that are still alive up to 100 years old or whatever. We have to now stop thinking about, you know, retirement and going off and, you know, laying on the beach somewhere or playing golf. We've got to get back involved in our communities. I mean, you're looking at a guy who has, frankly, every right to just go away after all the bullshit, excuse my Irish, that I was put through, and go and just go away and say, you know what, I'm going to go do nothing. But when I look at my grandchildren and I say to myself, I cannot live with myself having served this country for 3.5 decades and go, oh, yeah, I'm just going to walk away from it all and let my grandchildren figure this out. They don't know which end is up. That's and right. Frankly, for my children, too, in their generation, we gave too many trophies out, Stu. You know, we gave too many trophies out.
I agree.
And we got to stop giving out trophies. And even in our military, back to our military, the only reason we have a military is to fight and win our nation's wars. And the key word there is win, instead of participating in these god-awful long wars that we should never be involved in. You know, and all we do is we participate, and then look at what happens to us.
Did you play sports in high school by any chance?
I sure did.
Did you play football?
Yep.
When you were traveling, captain of my football team. Well, there you go. When you were traveling and you were away and you lost, the bus ride back was always quiet. It's supposed to feel crappy to lose, right?
Winning, that's right.
That's what makes winning feel all the more sweet. I want to switch.
We were a champion. I will tell you, we were a champion in high school, a championship football team. But you know, in my junior year, when we were playing, if we lost, we lost one game in my junior year, and our coach would have us on the buses because we had a couple of buses that would take us back. He would have himself on one, and he'd have the assistant coach on the other, and we'd be doing exercises on that bus that we lost. For that game that we lost.
You're darn right.
I mean, because he would like, you know, and that's part of the problem is that we don't have coaches. We don't have, again, I'm looking for champions, Stu. You're a champion because you're projecting a message that is being canceled everywhere else, right? So, and you and I have talked about this before, and we've talked with others like you that are in the sort of the spectrum of the podcasters of the world today that are trying to fight through the cancel culture and the censorship that we are all experiencing. You don't get censored in a democratic country. You don't get censored in a country that has freedom of speech. So why are we being censored? Because we got a bunch of fascists that are in power in the tech world, in the government, and nobody says anything. Has our this administration said anything about censorship? No. And even the mainstream media, and that includes Fox and Newsmax, you know, but it's really when we say mainstream media, people think of MSNBC or CNN. It's ABC, CBS, NBC. It's the big markets out there and the owners of those markets.
And if you watch some of their programming, even some of the stuff that's supposedly entertainment, it all has a political, Marxist, fascist type messaging to it. Yep. Communism is what it is. It's indoctrinated. These people are professionals at it, the Chinese especially. I want to switch gears just a little bit because I know we only have a few minutes left here. Talk about Mike Pence, Bill Barr, John Durham. Are these guys phonies?
Yeah, I think John Durham's he's real, but I don't expect anything out of him. I'm going to hold my tongue on Mike Pence for now. Okay. Because I do have strong feelings about the vice president. And in terms of Barr, I actually think that Barr just gave up at the end. I think something emotionally happened to him. And I think it actually happened in the summer of 2020 more than it happened after the election, because for Barr to have walked away or have said what he said about, well, you know, we're not going to do any investigations. And knowing what we now know, it's just incredible. It's just incredible. So, I have more to say about some of these other people in the future.
Well, and we'll wait to hear it. I always listen closely when you talk. So we've watched this coup take place. You've acknowledged that it happened here. It seems that there's a transition happening. People are being impacted by these psyops and waiting for a plan. You have said multiple times, we are the plan. And I think I know what you mean. But with just a couple of minutes here, explain that to the audience. Can we stop this? And how do we win? I mean, you've said local, get involved, right? I mean, that is
local action, national impact. For all these people that are out there that listen to your show, you know, the psyop is against us. It's against us. That's the side. The real psyop, the real disinformation campaign, whether it's from internal people and in operating out of Silicon Valley, or it's from the Chinese or a combination. That's the psyop. You know, all these people that think, oh, the military, this, the military. No, there's no plan. You know, face reality, audience. Face reality, America. Face reality, world. We have had a takeover of the United States of America by a small group of leftists who want to see us turn into a socialist country with a market capitalism in terms of a financial system similar to parts of China. And I can tell you, I mean, all you can do is study China, study the last 10, 20 years of China, which I've done. And that's what we're all about. So I think that what people have to do is get involved in their communities. They really do. When raise your voices, folks. Raise your voices. I'll leave you with this, because I had this great conversation with a great grandmother out of Minneapolis, and I was sitting with her at a breakfast one morning, not too many weeks ago. Then I said to her, I said, "Ma'am, what's your story?" And she was in her 70s, and she told me, "Well, I just ran for school board because I was sick of what was happening to my great-grandchildren." Okay. Wow. She's a great grandma in her late 70s. So she's on the school board there. She ran for the school board up in Minneapolis.
Right here.
And I was like, I went around and I gave her a big hug, you know, and I was like, oh my God. So she's exactly what I'm talking about. It has to happen at that level. And then what happens is it begins to bubble up. And we the people, you know, like, if you want to know what the plan is, it's us. But it's us only if we get involved. Now, you know, during the Revolutionary War, only 3% of 4 million people actually fought. Okay? 3% of 4 million at the time that existed in the 13 colonies. Most people just wanted to be left alone, stay out of my house, you know. About a third of those people were actually for the British. About a third of the 4 million in the 13 colonies were for the British. So we're kind of in a place where we've got to make some decisions about how we get involved in our communities. Otherwise, we're moving to something that is not going to be appealing to the majority of the American people. And you're going to wake up one day and you're going to be, you know, in a metaphorical way, you're going to be told to get on a train, like we saw in the late 30s and the 40s in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
And all those people that got on that train ended up going to their deaths. I ain't getting on that train. I'll take a bullet before I get on that train. And I'll argue with anybody that wants to argue and debate with me about what is happening to this country, because there's no other way to look at this other than we're moving towards a socialist, communist, system of government, because we had a fraudulent election and they outmaneuvered us. And then now they're playing lawfare every which way, you know, that you can possibly do that. I mean, for those that are paying attention to the Arizona, the information coming out about the Arizona audit, I mean, they started to attack the gal who presented the canvassing yesterday.
Yep,
they started
Liz
to
Harris.
Attack her. Liz Harris, they started to attack her for typos on her report. Typos. So you know that she got it right, because they're attacking her for typos on the front page of her report. So, you know, that's what they do. That's what they do. And they try to change the narrative. They try to change the subject. So I got to leave it at that, Stu. Thank you so much. And thank you to your audience. And my last message to everybody is get involved in your communities. If you don't, you cannot complain.
Yeah.
You cannot complain about what's happening.
I agree 100%.
You accept it.
I want to get contact information for that Minneapolis great-grandmother that ran for school board.
Yeah.
I'd love to give her a big bear hug and have her on this program. So touch base with me if you have that. General Michael Flynn, thank you
so much.
We really appreciate you being here.
All right.
What an honor, General Michael Flynn. You know, if you haven't heard me talk about Step on Socks, or even if you have, I want you to really listen to what I'm about to tell you. General Michael Flynn referred to the metaphorical trains that took you to the ovens in 1930s Nazi-ruled Germany. What we have going on in the hospitals right now is not even necessarily metaphorical, but in the natural, it is the new oven. These are the new kill chambers for people who are unvaccinated or choose not to mask and particularly align themselves with the mandates being set forth by these communist tyrants, this oligarchy that has overtaken our government. Well, one of the founders at Step on Socks used to be a medical doctor. She recognizes that. She knows that these doctors are very aware that hydroxychloroquine, early treatment, ivermectin, quercetin, zinc, vitamin D, that these things work and they are the real COVID killers. Not remdesivir, that is killing people. Not ventilators, that is killing people. And because the CDC and the NIH are telling these doctors what to do, they're participating in a money for murder scheme. That's what it is. The founder over at Step on Socks, one of them, was a medical doctor. She could not take it anymore. She distanced herself. She walked away. She stopped it. She could not participate, and she left. It inspired her to start Step on Socks, red-pilling people, giving you a sense of satisfaction, a sense of almost empowerment as you walk around on these tyrants and step on these snakes all day long. I don't have to tell you about the product itself because you know they speak for themselves. High quality, 100% Patriot designed all cotton socks. You get a red, white, and blue pair for $17.76, a three pack. But they've also diversified. They have silver and they have Second Amendment flags. And although that wasn't a topic of my conversation with General Flynn, I know that he supports the Second Amendment. And nobody would question the importance of possessing your firearms, holding on to that Second Amendment, and protecting it until death. By any means necessary, do not ever relinquish your Second Amendment. They have flags available at Step On Socks as well. I just wanted to take a moment to tell you that you can be confident that when you're doing business at steponsocks.com, you're doing business with people who genuinely care about this constitutional republic and humanity. You're doing business with real patriots when you go to steponsocks.com. Also, get big discounts when you mention the name Stu Peters when you go to steponsocks.com. Well, the lying media continues to blast your minds with fear-based propaganda surrounding COVID-19. The Delta variant, and support the forceful strapping of masks to your kids' faces, of course. The CDC went behind the scenes and changed their definition of the word vaccine. I guess they didn't expect us to notice. Now, if you would have checked the CDC's own website on August 26th, you would have read a definition of vaccine that most people would have been familiar with. Back then, the CDC's definition of a vaccine was, quote, a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease. The definition of vaccination was the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to a specific disease. The key word here is immunity. A vaccine, by definition, is supposed to give you immunity from the disease that the injection is meant for. Tetanus shots give you immunity against tetanus. Smallpox gives you the immunity against smallpox, and so on and so forth. If you take a vaccine for something and you still end up getting whatever it was that you were inoculated for, then the vaccine clearly didn't work. Now, we already know that the COVID vaccines don't provide you with immunity from the Fauci-funded China flu. As we've been told, our liberties will not be restored. A mask is still necessary, and the best thing to do is stay away from everyone forever. And the injections themselves have set a record as the most dangerous rollout of an inoculation in United States history, approaching 14,000 deaths as of today, according to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System monitored by the CDC. And the media continues to tell us about these very scary breakthrough cases. Take Oscar De La Hoya, for example. Maybe should have considered the Joe Rogan treatment. Despite being, quote, fully vaccinated, De La Hoya, among other so many people in the world, are still supposedly getting infected with COVID-19. In many cases, it appears inoculation victims or vaccinated people are in much worse shape compared to those who haven't taken the shots. A study from Oxford even found that a fully vaccinated person carries 251 times the viral load of the virus, and experts fear that these people could be the real super spreaders, contributing to more of these breakthrough cases that the government can't seem to give us a clear answer about. In Israel, the prime minister said that the second dose of the shot has faded, and now a third shot is required, but it gets even worse. Now the Israeli COVID czar is saying citizens need a fourth jab. Imagine that. Now here in America, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said it herself, the vaccine's effectiveness is waning, and people who got the shots early on are at risk of severe disease, whatever that means. You see, these oligarchs are gearing up to push these booster shots. President Trump has warned us is simply a moneymaker. Now, many have said that these shots don't meet the definition of a vaccine, and the CDC's new definition of vaccine suggests that those experts are right. We don't need to be doctors or scientists to know what a vaccination is supposed to do. It's supposed to give you immunity for diseases the shot was designed for. However, in light of the COVID vaccine's ineffectiveness and general dangers, deadliness, they pulled a fast one and switched up the definition to justify what we all knew was true from the get-go. They don't give you immunity, and in many cases, your immunity is much lower than what it would be if you experienced a natural infection. That's what many experts have said here. They have alluded to antibody-dependent enhancement, and we will, of course, stay talking about that on this program with experts as we move forward. But flash forward to today. If you go ahead and check out the new definition of vaccine on the CDC's website, you'll see that it's now, quote, a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. You see what they did there? Instead of produce immunity, the so-called vaccines, quote, stimulate the body's immune response. Now, I don't know what that means, but the same goes for the new definition of vaccination, which of course describes it as the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. The change there too, instead of producing immunity to a specific disease, which was the old definition, the so-called vaccination is meant to produce protection. I don't know what all that means or whether it's relevant or important, but I thought it was noteworthy. Now, Dr. Wiseman is a PhD research scientist with a background in pharmacy, pharmacology, and experimental pathology. He was one of the top 66 research scientists at Johnson & Johnson, where he headed up a research program overseeing preclinical and clinical research, as well as submissions to the FDA. Since 1996, he's run his own R&D consulting business, helping companies develop medical products. He's a journal peer reviewer. He's dropped everything to work on COVID, contributing to the important work on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And Dr. Wiseman joins us now. Dr. Wiseman, thank you for being here. How important, in your opinion, is this wording switch, if at all?
I am totally confused by this. What are they playing at? To me, the key word that is missing in the new definition is the word specific. Okay, so a vaccine is meant to produce specific immunity. And I took the liberty of getting out my British Pharmacopeia from 1973 to see what was the old definition of a vaccine. And this is an official document of the British government, but it's many governments have similar ones. And vaccines are preparations of antigenic material administered with the intention that they will induce in the recipient a specific immunity to infection and so on. So the key word is specific, and that seems to be dropped from the new definition. I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but according to what you've just said. I'm totally confused with this. What are they playing at? Are they just saying, well, this produces a general enhancement of your general immunity without being specific to this particular disease? I'm not sure. But to me, the more important problem is not the definition of vaccine. There's actually more pressing problems than the one that you've pointed out. And I'll give you a couple of examples. First of all, even for CDC to redefine a vaccine, what does that mean? Who gets to define what the vaccine means? Is it FDA? Is it CDC? Is it a legal definition? What is that going to be used for to determine compensation in the vaccine injury program? So we don't really know what that definition is going to do and where it's going to go. That's the first problem. The second problem is FDA has definitions of vaccines. I don't know if they've changed their website today, but prior to today, they've had the definitions of vaccines, which could include these new kinds of vaccines. And so what we have to really understand is, what are the differences between these vaccines and the old vaccines? And the difference is that these vaccines don't work the same way as the old types of vaccines. The old types of vaccines, you took a bacteria or a virus, and you either killed it or you got a watered down version of that virus, and you injected that into a person, and then you would get some kind of immunity against the disease that bacteria or virus would cause.
I'd like to have you back. I really want to have you back to talk more about this. You've been recommended by Dr. Peter McCullough. Your resume speaks for itself. You're certainly an expert. I have about 30 seconds left here. Dr. Wiseman, is it your opinion that the dangers associated with this vaccine match up with the facts that we see? This thing is killing an unprecedented amount of people. Are these, in short, are they dangerous inoculations?
We have significant safety concerns that need to be addressed based on the fact that these are gene therapy products that have long-term consequences. These are recognized by FDA as gene therapy products. Moderna, in their second quarter filing of last year, said that these products are regulated as gene therapy products. That carries with them a whole slew of long-term follow-up. They have to do cancer studies, they have to do autoimmune studies, all sorts of things. And for those reasons, we have to be really concerned. So this word change, I'm not really sure the significance, but we have to look at the general picture that these are gene therapy products that carry with them lots more safety concerns than just old-fashioned vaccines.
Dr. David Wiseman, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
While the CDC continues to change definitions, we know the one thing that defines these people behind all of this is snake. These people are tyrants and they are snakes, and now you can step on the snakes by going to steponsocks.com. These people are patriots. They have been around since almost the inception of the Stu Peters Show. I have come to know them personally, and I can vouch for them 100%. When you do business with steponsocks.com, you're doing business with patriots. All of the versions over there, from the classic version to the trust in God version to the Trader Joe version, now versions including Pence, Cuomo, all these snakes that you can step on all day long. Red pill people and start the conversation. When you go to steponsocks.com, you'll also see that they have diversified. They have silver available for sale, as well as Second Amendment flags. What could be more important right now than our Second Amendment? Go to steponsocks.com right now. Get huge discounts when you mention Stu Peters at steponsocks.com. Well, as we all know, Dr. Zev Zelenko is a genius. He saved thousands of lives in upstate New York with early treatment protocols. If you want to stay healthy, I trust Dr. Zev Zelenko. If you do, you can get over to ZStackProtocol.com. Again, ZStackProtocol.com, as they try to release these chimerically engineered Fauci-funded viruses to incapacitate, handicap, or kill you. It's really important that you are able to fight them off. Get the early treatment that you need. ZStackProtocol.com. I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow at this time. Until then, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way that you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And of course, here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the